Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello and welcome to The Huddle for Thursday afternoon on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Richmond off again today. He's back with us tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, we're on location. Wings, etc. in Bowling Springs. Right there on the main drag through Bowling Springs. So come by and see us if you're in that area tomorrow. Expect to be joined tomorrow by Rick Tate, the Bowling Springs High football coach, either on location there or via telephone. Still confirming which with him. So we'll be talking some Bowling Springs football because they don't play tomorrow night. They don't have a week zero game. So therefore, he'll be able to spend a few minutes with us. We look forward to that, getting you up to date on all things Bowling Springs football tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, we will get you to all things Burns and Greer football as we bring you that game here on ESPN Upstate from Nixon Field. Went over today and talked to Reggie Shaw. We'll let you hear that interview coming up, the head coach of the Rebels. Once I do that, once I've done a pregame interview, I consider the season underway.
I was going to ask you if it's real for you now.
It's real now, yeah. It's good to be over there, and we took Matt Hogan, our new sideline reporter, over there to talk with the coach, too, so he enjoyed it, seeing the stadium over there and getting ready for the game tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere. It's a good matchup, too. Greer is loaded with talent, and the Rebels are young, but always pretty darn good, and they've got some good young players. Got a couple key injuries, though, for Burns that we'll talk about in our interview with Reggie Shaw coming up in the 2 o'clock hour today. We'll preview the other matchups tomorrow night in high school football, and we'll give you the first statewide broadcasters high school football top 10 of the year. This one's voted on by broadcasters, including yours truly, and so we'll bring you that and tell you all.
Is this a new thing?
Yeah. Well, no, that actually, they did it. They've done it before. You know Chris Miller over at Rock Hill? He puts it together. The play-by-play guy for the Northwestern Trojans. It's the first time I voted in it. I guess it's new to me. So I'm voting in this year.
That's why I was asking if it was new, because this is the first time I remember you mentioning that you voted.
Yeah.
That's
cool. No, this is new. So we'll tell you the top 10. It's all classes, by the way. It's not broken out by 5A, 4A, 3A. It's just 10 best high school football teams in the state. Going to do it every week.
You know, it's kind of sad that it took this long for them to give you a vote, seeing as how you're on the three-time, sports show of the year in
Leave
the state
it to
of South
you,
Carolina.
Lonzo.
I'm just saying.
Leave it to you. I think this started mostly with Chris's crew over there. They cover, every school in York County over there. And they've been doing it, and they've kind of expanded out from that. So, anyway, we'll tell you about the top 10 schools according to our group of voters, which is, let's look and glance at it here. It looks like we got about 15 people voting in this thing. So, that's pretty cool. Also coming up today, we'll get the latest on the Maryland situation. We'll hear from Heather Denich of ESPN and Stephen A. Smith. On that topic, there is a Maryland Board of Regents meeting, Board of Trustees meeting today, closed meeting. Topic on the agenda includes, how would you feel if you heard about this and you're DJ Durkin? Removal, resignation, employment, litigation, legal counsel, or personnel matters. Yeah, not a good day for DJ to be sitting and waiting that out. I don't know if they'll do anything today or not. Seems a little early still, but they might. So we'll watch and see. But we'll get you the latest from Maryland. On that investigation coming up, we have three questions at three coming up as well in the huddle. And much, much more. As always, you're welcome to join the conversation here at 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. Begin your message with ESPN. And we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Well, what's trending is Braves fans are ticked off. Man, Twitter blew up with this last night as soon as it happened. On the first pitch of the game last night, between the Marlins and the Braves in Atlanta at SunTrust Park. Ronald Acuna Jr., who has been the hottest player in baseball as of late, he had homered in five straight games, including the last three in Miami. On the first pitch of the game last night, Jose Urena for the Marlins plunked him and hit him in the elbow. That's the bad part. And left elbow. They have done a CT scan last night. It came back normal. That's good news. Because he looked like he was in some serious pain. Could have been a serious injury. He is considered by the Braves day-to-day. So don't know yet if he'll play tonight. The Braves start a series in Atlanta with the Rockies tonight, 7:30 at SunTrust Park. Don't know if he will play. When he was hit by Urena, the bench is cleared. Braves players were steaming mad. Snicker, the manager, not happy at all. One of the players that didn't like it was Freddie Freeman.
I know that wasn't the Marlins. That was just Jose Urena. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Just because a player is having fun playing a game, swinging the bat incredibly well, obviously. It just makes no sense. That was completely classless on Jose Urena's part.
Yeah, there was some pretty strong words. Classless got thrown around a lot last night. Rick Sutcliffe, broadcast now, of course, Cubs pitcher in the past, broadcast for ESPN, and he was asked about retaliation. What do the Braves do now?
You don't hit a Marlin. That's not the way I went about the game. You don't hit an outfielder because they hit your outfielder. You hit the guy that hit your guy, and I don't think they're going to get an opportunity to do that. I doubt if they see him the rest of the year, but the Atlanta Braves will never forget that. It could be spring training. It could be next year, but something will happen.
Hey, like that. They'll wait for Urena to come up to the plate against them. I wouldn't even get up to the plate if I'm him. I would not step up to the plate against the Braves again. I would find a way not to do that. I don't know if he can do that, but I would he's got to be just thinking, here it comes.
Is there any other sport that has a better memory than baseball?
No.
I mean, three years from now, this dude might get hit.
Yeah, they'll never forget until they get their shot at him. And I agree with Sutcliffe. I mean, yeah, you could go after their best player. I don't know who that would be. It's the Marlins. But, no, you want to get Jose. You want to get him because he did this. He said he didn't mean to. So he was trying to throw inside because the guy had been hitting him real well. And, you know, I'll buy part of that. I don't think he meant to hit him on the elbow. I think he's trying to plunk him in the back, you know, just to get his attention. But, you know, he did not just lob one in there. That pitch was 97.5 miles per hour. It is the fastest pitch Urena has ever thrown to open a game, according to ESPN stats and information. They keep stats on everything. So he just blitzed him. Threw his hardest pitch ever as his first pitch of a game and hit Acuna.
Maybe it just got away from him.
Whatever. Urena was ejected. That's good. Brian Snicker, the Braves manager, was ejected. We'll hear from him coming up later, along with Don Mattingly, the manager of the Marlins. Snicker was mouthing at the pitcher as he led the exodus from the dugout toward the mound. Snicker said, "It's pretty evident what I thought. It's a shame. His guy, Acuna, is just playing the game, doing what he loves to do." Acuna was hit near his left elbow, stayed on the ground for a few minutes as players from both sides came out and started yelling at each other and pushing and shoving. Finally, Acuna got up and walked down to first base and to run the bases. But in the top of the second inning, Acuna, who had been flexing his arm as he took his position in left field, made a signal over to the bench and he came out of the game. And so they had x-rays, and those fortunately came back negative last night. But, man, did Braves fans get upset about that last night. Braves went on to win the game, by the way, 5-2. So they did get the last word in that regard. But the Phillies also won yesterday. So no change in the standings at the top there. Two-game lead for the Braves. Look, I don't know what the pitcher was trying to do exactly. I think he's trying to hit him. And that's not good, especially when you come out the first inning, first pitch of the game, and do that. It's pretty evident he's trying to hit him. I'm not going to say he was trying to break his elbow, but he could have. He could have cost him the rest of the season, and the Braves are in first place, and I don't blame him for being mad. Now we'll just have to watch and see about any kind of retaliation.
So there's no chance that this was an ordered hit?
You know, yeah, there's a chance of anything. And yeah, I've heard people, I've seen people get on Twitter and say, hey, Acuna was hamming it up when he was hitting those home runs. You know, he was trotting around like he was Joe DiMaggio or whatever. Seen some people say all kinds of things. I never saw that. You know, there may have been a bat flip or, you know, certainly excitement on Acuna's part. I don't care about that. This business about, hey, you can't flip the bat when you hit a home run. Had a walk-off home run in the game the other night, and people were criticizing the guy for flipping the bat. It's excited. Why can't you do that? One of those dumb, unwritten baseball rules, if you ask me. So, I don't know. I just don't like the way that played out last night. I think under the circumstances, when it happened, how it happened, it's pretty clear that it was intentional. And so the Braves will not forget it. Good news is it doesn't appear to be a bad injury, and hopefully he'll be back. But, you know, that could cool off that torrid streak that Acuna was on. It certainly could do that. And that's unfortunate. So we'll have more on that coming up. We'll hear from both managers, Mattingly and Snitker, a little bit later on here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Update on Aaron Judge. Speaking of injured players, Aaron Judge has an injured wrist. It is healing slower than doctors originally thought. He said today he hates that he's away from the lineup. He says, I'm not frustrated with the pace of the healing. I'm just frustrated with being out. He's been out for 3 weeks now. After a chip fracture in his right wrist when he was plunked by a pitch, a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, 3.5 miles per hour slower than the one that hit Acuna last night. That happened July 26th. Hours after he sustained that injury, the Yankees announced it would be approximately a 3-week recovery period. General Manager Brian Cashman told WFAN that the timeline might have been a bit too optimistic for Aaron Judge. So we missed on the time frame, he said. It's going to be longer than that. He did get a cortisone shot early this week on Monday. Judge said that's something they said I might have to do. Didn't want to rush into the shot. We'd see how it's healing up without it, but he did get that. The shot was injected, he said, as he's trying to get over the hump in this stage of the recovery. He's coming back to baseball activity slowly. Before Wednesday's game, yesterday's game against Tampa Bay, he came out and ran the bases and red fly balls and ground balls out in right field. With his right hand, he was throwing the balls he fielded back toward a bucket near him in the outfield, so he wasn't making any real throws. He has not swung with a bat in his hands, so he's still got to do that. So I don't know when he's going to get back on the field. Trying to be patient, but the broken bone is still fractured, he said. I have to give it time to heal. So that's the update on Judge. Really slow recovery there. And the Yankees, of course, have been falling further and further behind the Red Sox in the American League East. All right, 844-477-3776. Let's get a couple calls on before the first break. First up, it is Delvin. Hi, Delvin. Welcome in.
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, did you hear Keith Hernandez's comments talking about the Mallers did it because he hit home runs against him? I'm sorry. That's his job. So I guess Keith Hernandez been hitting the ground out all the time and he won't get hit. It's just ridiculous for him to say that because he hit 3 home runs against him. He had to get hit.
He hit him because he hit home runs? That's what Hernandez says? He like it was justified?
Yeah, don't you say it? Said he had a drill. If you listen to his comments, they showed his comments.
Yeah.
Keith Hernandez, yeah, he said that because he was dominated again. He had to get hit.
Yeah, that
so
is
I guess So he got hit for doing his job. So I guess he could hit his home run. So I guess he had to ground out for it. That would have been okay because he wouldn't have got hit. That's just ridiculous.
Agree with you, Delvin. Don't like it. No Braves fans likes what happened last night. It fortunately looks like it's going to turn out okay as far as the injury not being severe, but that was a little scary. Appreciate the call, Delvin. We got Daredevil up next in the huddle. Hi, Daredevil. Welcome in. Are you there? We got you now.
All right. Hey, I'm riding down the road with Mr. Ronnie Black, and we're real excited about tomorrow night, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on, I don't know how much you study Greer. I'm sure you've checked them out. They got a returning quarterback in Trey Houston, a good running back in Clay. And
yep.
I just want to get your thoughts on the game, and I'll get off the air and listen.
All right, Daredevil. We appreciate it. I like this matchup. You know, this Burns-Greer game is what he's talking about, which we'll have for you tomorrow night on ESPN Upstate. The thing that, you know, might be a little misleading is how Burns went over there last year to Greer and beat him 42-7. Now, that surprised me then. It would surprise me if that happened tomorrow night as well, because I think Greer is loaded with talent. You know, you're talking about a 4A versus a 5A school, so there's a difference in depth and that kind of thing, and Burns is probably going to be favored. But a couple of key things about this game. First of all, Burns quarterback Lawrence Scott has an ab strain. Talking to Coach Shaw today, they expect him to play, but they do not expect him to start. B.J. Peak will start for the Rebels at quarterback. So we'll have to see when Scott gets in and how he looks. And then maybe bigger is the loss of a linebacker and Jalen Miller. He is out for several weeks because of injury, and that's a meniscus, I believe, for Jalen. That's probably your top defensive player right there who's out for a while for Burns. So they do have a couple of key injuries. Ton of seniors on last year's Burns team that are gone. Plus, you had Brock Carroll, a quarterback who decided to not come back. So you got 30-plus guys from last year's roster not playing this year. That's a lot. So a bunch of JV guys from last year have to step up and hit the ground running this year for the Rebels. But they're pretty confident over at Burns that they've got what it takes. So yeah, they got off to a hot start. They won 5 in a row last year and were blowing people out. So good matchup. I think this is going to be a good game. Got a quarterback at Greer that threw, was it 35 touchdowns with no interceptions? Have you ever heard of that? No. I have never heard of that. Never heard of that. But that's the case. So they have certainly talent at running back, and well coached by Will Young over there. So I think it's a good one. Listen in tomorrow night here on ESPN Upstate. If you want to hear Coach Reggie Shaw's interview, we'll play that for you about 2:20 this afternoon to preview that game coming up. Let's see. Stan on the line. Let's get him in real quick. Hello, Stan. Welcome to the huddle.
Good day, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Doing good. What's up today?
Well, in relation to the pitches and Major League Baseball and striking batters and all, I mean, you know, of course, nobody likes to see somebody on their team get hit. Nobody likes that. But being that it's, I guess, part of the culture of baseball, what would it ever take, in your opinion, to get it to where it would stop? I mean, would it ever stop, or would it take just an absolute tragedy to make it stop?
Appreciate the call there, Stan. Look, not going to be stopped by an ejection, although, you know, their starting pitcher came out and threw one pitch, and he's out of the game. I'm sure they don't like that, but the penalty would have to get more severe. And then, you know, you've got to judge what the guy's saying. The guy, you know, he does have the right to throw inside, and it's a question, do you believe him when he says he wasn't really trying to hit the guy? I don't in this case. I think they were upset with Acuna's showing him up several games in a row, and they came out and hit him. Maybe just the pitcher on his own, you know, maybe not the manager, maybe not Mattingly. Mattingly says he talked to his pitcher and told him that's not the way we do things, so you know, at least he's saying the right things, and we'll hear from Mattingly coming up. All you do is suspensions, I guess. If you think it's blatant enough, suspend the guys. Not just boot them out of one game. Booting them out of one game is not going to do anything. So, and, you know, maybe you need to think about that. I'm not into this whole culture of, hey, you show us up by lighting us up with home runs, and we have the right to send a baseball 97.5 miles an hour at you. You hit somebody in the head, you could kill him. He didn't do that. He hit him low enough. But it looked pretty bad there for a minute. So anyway, I don't know if there is an answer to this. It's been part of baseball forever and probably will be. But that one last night, yeah, it was pretty blatant, pretty obvious, being the first pitch of the game and the way it happened. 844-477-3776. If you have a different thought, maybe you think, hey, it's just baseball. Just part of the game. You can give us a call here. Talk about last night's Braves-Marlins controversy, if you will. Certainly we'll take your calls on that. Text line, Health Dare text line, 71307. Put ESPN at the beginning of your text message, and we'll get it faster that way. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We have much more to come just underway here. Thursday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Well, it's not overstating it. We lost a legend today in the music business. Aretha Franklin, passing away today at the age of 76, advanced pancreatic cancer, according to her publicist. She died in Detroit. That was her signature song, written by Otis Redding, by the way. Respect. But she had a ton of them. 17 top 10 pop singles, 20 number one R&B hits. She had 18 Grammy Awards, Lifetime Achievement Award way back in 1994. First woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. Sang at the inauguration of President Obama in 2009. Hard to overstate the influence of Aretha Franklin. Sorry to hear about her passing away. Getting all kinds of reaction to that, certainly from artist. I saw a tweet from John Legend and just a whole bunch of people about that. So,
well, another sign of a legend. I mean, we have seven stations in this building, and every station is talking about it, including the talk stations.
Yeah. No doubt.
Do you remember the first Aretha Franklin song you played on the radio?
Played on the radio? No. Yeah. I mean, that would probably have been it. Respect. I mean, that one goes way back, but there were a ton of them. A Natural Woman and Chain of Fools and, you know, Do Right Woman, Think. Think was a big one. Whole kinds of hits. Going back into the late 60s and kind of brought that gospel flavor into popular music, which was very cool. Anyway, condolences to the family there. We had heard, you know, for a couple days that she was not doing well, and she has passed away. Aretha Franklin, truly a legendary singer and performer, and will be missed. 844-477-3776. That's our number here in the huddle. Health Dare text line is 71307. And Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. It's a pretty cool golf story I was looking at about Tiger Woods. A couple of weeks ago, they were having the final round of the WGC Bridgestone Invitational in Akron. And there was a heckling spectator that was following Tiger around. And that got the attention of Tiger Woods' caddy, Joe LaCava. And Joe LaCava was on Golic and Wingo this morning. And he said he was trying to get the heckler to shut up. The heckler said, well, if you give me the $25 I paid for a ticket, I'll leave. And so he got his wallet out and peeled out $25 and gave the guy the money. And the dude didn't leave, and he kept heckling. That takes some guts right there. So LaCava went to security and had him kicked out. He got the last word.
I think the real question here is, did he get his $25 back?
I don't think so. I mean, how would he, right? How could you force the guy to get the money back?
Well, the security guard's going to beat him down. And
yeah, there you go. You can always do that.
Get it back.
Yeah. But he got him out, got him kicked out. LaCava has been caddying for Tiger since 2011, and I thought this was pretty cool, too. He was talking about how he's comfortable enough with Tiger now that he will give him some grief on the golf course. And Tiger in that tournament was not hitting fairways. He was 0-for-7 on Sunday, not that tournament, this past weekend. It's the PGA Championship in St. Louis. He was 0-for-7 on the front nine hitting fairways in the final round. 5-for-14 overall on hitting fairways off the tee box. And he said, walking down the fairway after Tiger had hit another errant shot off to the side, he was pulling it to the right badly in that tournament. He said he would joke around with other caddies out there, but loud enough for Tiger to hear. And he said, how are the fairways, guys? Are they in good shape today? Like, we haven't seen a fairway all day long. So obviously they have a pretty good relationship that they have that he's able to do that and get away with it with Tiger Woods. Brant Snedeker made a bogey on his first hole of the day in Greensboro, but made a birdie at the last and became today just the 10th golfer in PGA Tour history to break 60. He had a 59 at the Wyndham Championship today. That's hard to do. And it's especially hard to do when you start with a bogey. He began the first round. He was playing on the 10th to start the first round. They started him on the 10th, and he had a bogey 5 on the par 4. That was the only blemish on his scorecard at Sedgefield Country Club. He had 10 birdies and an eagle the rest of the way. He made a 20-foot birdie putt on number 9, his final hole of the day, to join that exclusive club to break 60. The 9th different player to shoot 59 or better on the PGA Tour, Jim Furyk did it twice, including a record 58 back in 2016, just a couple of years ago. But he's the first ever to do it, starting his round with a bogey. Snedeker is the 4th PGA Tour player to break 60 in the last 3 years. There were only 4 to do it in the previous 24 years. So that tells you something about the state of golf today and an argument for the level of play. He birdied 4 holes in a row on the front 9 for a 32. Then he went on a roll. He played the front 9 in 27, including an eagle, 2, on the par 4 6th hole when he holed out from 176 yards. This is the 3rd consecutive year that the PGA Tour has had a sub-60 round. Snedeker's the first to shoot 59 since Adam Hadwin in the 3rd round of the 2017 Career Builder Challenge. So in Greensboro today, Brant Snedeker with a 59. Very impressive. We'll hit a break and come back with more. 844-477-3776 in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Just watching the Little League World Series on ESPN today. South Korea, Puerto Rico on there. Did you see a little controversy? Was it last weekend as this was getting underway with the player? You know, they'll ask the players in the Little League World Series questions that they put up on the screen, and they ask one of them who his favorite actor was, and he said Johnny Sin, and they put that on the screen. You may not be familiar with the actor Johnny Sin. He's a porn star.
Okay, so it's good. I had no idea. I'm like, who in the world is that?
I didn't know either. I didn't know either, but it did. They need more, a variety of people kind of overseeing some of these answers from these kids.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hurry and try to look that up.
Yeah, you probably don't want to look it up. Not at a work computer. Anyway, so it was up there. So everybody screened, a lot of people screenshot that, and it made the rounds last weekend. Maybe I will do away with the process of asking these kids too many questions.
Maybe someone needs to ask that kid how he knew that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's gotten less than positive reaction to that. All right, so we have the Board of Trustees at Maryland meeting today. We'll keep an eye on it. I don't know when they'll wrap up, see if they do anything today, but they have this whole mess with DJ Durkin and the investigation into the death of a football player on the agenda, including possible dismissals on the agenda. Doesn't mean they'll do it today, but they could. So we'll watch that. We're also due pretty soon here for an Urban Meyer decision, right? As we get closer to the weekend. A couple days away from the 14-day mark of when they said we'll do this in 14 days.
Has it been 14 yet?
It will have been on Saturday, I believe. So there's nothing that says they have to do it by Saturday. There's nothing to say they can't say, hey, we need a few more days and go into next week. But they could do it any time now.
Probably Friday night around, Friday. I don't know, 7:30 or so.
Yeah.
They'll drop the news that they're retaining Urban Meyer as coach.
Yeah, with a 4-game suspension. That's what I've been predicting. A 4-game suspension for Urban Meyer. I know they play Rutgers, which is technically a conference game early, but not a real one. So they'll bring him back in time for the big conference games. Odds makers say the odds that Meyer keeps his job, according to BetSDI, and if you can't trust BetSDI, who can you trust? The odds are minus 1,500 that Urban Meyer keeps his job. What does that mean? You would have to bet $1,500 to win 100. You bet 1,500 that he keeps his job, you'll get 1,600.
So they're saying they believe he's keeping his job.
That's correct. Odds makers generally believe Meyer will be suspended. The over-under on games that he'll miss, 4.5.
See, I kind of get how they come up with stats and stuff to come up with odds on games, but how do you do that for something like this?
Well, what do you mean? It's kind of the same as the game, really. You're just saying what you think is going to happen.
Okay, so it's an educated guess, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Vegas has sources and all that, but I think they're looking at it. They're watching the news just like the rest of us. They see that they didn't boot him immediately, which would have been, you know, if they were going to do it, the longer it goes, the more chance he's coming back. Would you agree with that? I think that way.
Well, I never thought he was going to be gone in the first place. But, yeah, I definitely agree. The longer it takes, the better chance he has.
Yeah. And so it's stretching on. It makes it seem like, makes it feel like they're just figuring out exactly what to do with him. Other, short of firing him. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. Even though at the very beginning, almost everybody was saying they didn't think he could survive this. But it looks like he might. They'll fire somebody, maybe the AD. There'll be somebody to take the fall for this. But, you know, Urban, again, the only thing they really have him on is what he said at the SEC Media Days, which was not accurate.
Well, when Urban keeps his job, will guys like Paul Feinbaum, like, pass out from anger?
Nah, Feinbaum will be all right. He'll criticize it for sure, no question. But does this mess up Ohio State's season? That they have a loaded team. This is one of his better teams coming in. Do you think, what if they win the national championship on this year where he's starting out with his job in question? That could happen.
It definitely could happen. What if he does get fired? Would it affect the season?
Absolutely. It'd blow it up.
I don't think so.
Really?
Because he's got his players in place. All the other coaches are still going to be there, right?
Well, maybe. We don't know that for sure.
Motivation, win one for coach. I mean, maybe it's that little bit extra they need to get it done.
There's a reason he's Urban Meyer. Would Alabama keep winning without Nick Saban? They keep winning, but they wouldn't win at that rate.
See, but I think if Saban got fired this year, I think they would win because everything is in place. He's been there, just like Urban Meyer's been there for the majority of, you know, the summer, last year, all that kind of stuff. I know he's been off for nearly 14 days. But he's been there this long to set everything up. Everything runs the way he would have it run, all that kind of stuff.
It's not just the setup, it's the execution. They would miss him.
See, I should know this. Does Urban call the plays?
Probably, since Herman's left. I don't know that for sure either.
Yeah. See, that would affect it, but if he doesn't call the plays...
That doesn't matter. He's running things, Lonzo.
I know.
He's Urban.
See, I would say the same thing for Clemson. If something happened to Dabo, if he was gone for some reason, I think Clemson will win this year because everything is put in place. I know that football, like a lot of sports, is emotional, but I don't know that it would be a detriment more so than I think it would help. What I'm saying is I think it would be more motivation if you felt your coach was wrongly fired. I don't think you get depressed and go, well, I'm just not going to play. I think you're ticked off and you play a little bit harder.
I'll bet you that if Urban is fired, and I don't think he will be, that the odds makers will not react positively to that week to week. That there are, you know, there'll be favorites in most of their games, but there'll be a decrease in the odds of Ohio State winning without Urban Meyer. But, you know, we're going to agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, I can't take the bet since I don't think he's getting fired.
No, I don't either. I think he's staying anymore. And, of course, some of the Ohio State fans are just sitting around blaming ESPN for all this. It's always popular. You can't go wrong blaming ESPN, right?
Blame the media. Yeah, stick of media.
They had signs at that protest saying, ESPN SEC frauds. All of this is about the SEC somehow.
Well, there does seem to be a bias towards the SEC.
Stop it.
There does. I mean,
fire ESPN, bring back Coach Meyer. That's why. What does this have to do with the SEC? It has nothing to do with the SEC.
And actually, the reporter no longer works for ESPN.
No, he doesn't.
Right? So,
no.
But he still has affiliation.
Uh-huh. All about getting everybody out of the way so the SEC can win the championship. 844-477-3776 here in the huddle. I don't know that we'll get anything today on Ohio State. We could get something today on Maryland. So we'll let you know. Keep an eye on that. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line 71307. Off the text line, texter says, do you agree with ESPN that the Lakers will not make the playoffs this upcoming season? No, we do not. We talked about that earlier in the week. about the projected number of wins for the Lakers, and we both have them in, right? I have them in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it may be they may be down there 7 or 8. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that 7th or 8th in the West, and just slipping in. But I think,
who do they have ahead of them?
What do you mean? Who else would get in ahead of them?
Said that ESPN has them, so there must be a list somewhere where they're saying that, you know, who they project to be in. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, we know who the top couple teams in the West are, but after that,
I mean, you're going to get Houston, Golden State, probably Portland, Oklahoma City, Utah. After that, I don't know. Spurs, do you expect the Spurs to be any good without Kawhi? No.
They made the playoffs last year without Kawhi.
Yeah, they did. Pelicans? The feared Pelicans?
It's hard to say that with a straight face, but that's a possibility.
Minnesota's pretty good. Minnesota's got some players. And they just slipped in last year. And you got Denver, you got the Clippers. But I think the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers just, what were they, 8th, 9th, they were like 11th this past year with nobody. With LeBron, I think they move up 3 spots and get in. So I do think they get in. Kobe Bryant, everything he touches turns to gold, apparently. Coca-Cola announced that it had purchased a minority stake in Body Armor, the sports drink. Well, Bryant made his first investment in that brand for 10% of the company in March of 2014. He put in about $6 million. Now, since Coca-Cola is getting in, the valuation is increased to the point that Kobe's $6 million investment is now worth $200 million. Like he needs more money. $200 million. Wow. From $6 million to $200 million since 2014. I'm going to say that Kobe had some good advice there. I mean, maybe he's that smart. I don't know. But I'm going to say he had some good advice. He's now the 4th largest investor in the brand. This is supposed to be, by the way, a healthier competitor to Gatorade. When Bryant invested in Body Armor, the brand had just come off a year with $10 million in sales. 2018 projected sales, $400 million. So in his 20-year NBA career, he made $328 million. He's making, you know, about $200 million right now on this one deal. It's America, man.
Have you tried any of it before?
No, have you?
No.
No, I don't know.
Will this make you want to go try some?
I've seen their commercials, right? They're basically, this is the one that's basically saying, you had a good run, Gatorade, we'll see you later. Something like that.
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I've seen something about that. So they have some good TV commercial. As part of their endorsement deals, many athletes had equity stakes in Body Armor. ESPN's told by sources as many as a dozen superstar athletes could have stakes in Body Armor worth more than $1 million, including the likes of James Harden, Dustin Johnson, and Andrew Luck. Coca-Cola's acquisition is the biggest story in the business of sports drinks since December of 2000. That was when PepsiCo acquired Quaker Oats, and that included Gatorade. It's part of that deal. The deal puts Body Armor in Coke's powerful distribution network on their delivery trucks throughout most of the United States. So, yeah, that does increase the value when you can get in the Coca-Cola system and take advantage of that scale that they have.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.